Keep that corner clear. Keep them moving, Lieutenant De La Puente says about residents in an area of Bed-Stuy in Brooklyn. We own the block. They may live here, but we own the neighborhood. He said, get the effing riffraff off the corner. This is what was on some of the 31 separate recordings made by an officer in secret at roll call held each day before officers go out on patrol. Everyone in Bed-Stuy has a warrant, Lieutenant De La Puente said. The tapes from 2008 and 2009 were played into the court record. Center for Constitutional Rights attorney Jonathan Moore says they provide evidence to the judge about the atmosphere which prevailed in the 81st Precinct in terms of the community they policed. Moore says the tapes show numbers are discussed at roll calls and pressure is put on officers to meet the numbers. Yet when Commanding Officer Moriello took the stand after tapes were played, he said the NYPD didn't use quotas. Attorney Moore says the words on the tapes speak for themselves.
When a commander in the precinct talks about riffraff, you know, what does that mean? When he talks about how everybody in Bed-Stuy has a warrant, we know what that means. That's racial stereotyping. That's racial profiling.
Attorney Darius Charney with the Center for Constitutional Rights says the tapes show the NYPD doesn't have much regard for the community it's supposed to be protecting.
At these roll calls, supervisors and even the precinct commander gave directives to the officers about what they expected them to do on patrol, and we heard very clearly that they expected them to make certain numbers of stops and issue certain numbers of summonses. And you also heard them really refer to the people of Bed-Stuy in very stereotypical, generalized terms in a way that really, I think, suggests that the police department and particularly that precinct did not have much respect for the dignity and humanity of these communities.
And so we hear the tapes and then we actually have testimony. So what's the purpose of playing the tapes and then officers coming in and giving live testimony?
Well, we have testifying on the stand the precinct commander of this precinct, who was in charge at the time these recordings were made, and in fact his voice is heard on several of them. So it's really to confront him with his own words, and you know, I think also to impeach him, because you know, he testified that they don't racially stereotype. They don't have numerical requirements for the number of stops that officers are going to have. And he said this, you know, and then the tapes clearly contradict what he said. So he's really being confronted with his own words, and, you know, he's actually being given an opportunity to explain himself. But thus far, I don't think his explanations mesh, you know, or jibe with what's heard on the tapes.
It is our duty to fight!
It is our duty to fight!
It is
our duty to win!
We must love one another!
We must love one another!
And protect one another!
And protect one another!
We have nothing to lose but our chains!
We have nothing to lose but our chains!
Outside the courtroom, community groups and families of police violence victims gathered in support of the Stop and Frisk lawsuit. Linda Tajani is with the Malcolm X Grassroots Movement, MXGM.
We understand and firmly believe that Stop and Frisk is one or the beginning of an interaction that may lead to the death of one of our people. And so we firmly believe that the results of this case and the work of this case and the lawsuit and the many years it's gotten to take us to this point is representative of the decades of work of Cop Watch, of Know Your Rights, and putting NYPD on trial. We are looking to see what will happen with this case, and we firmly believe that New York City's justice will shine through and our families will begin to see justice.
MXGM released a report at the gathering that every 28 hours, a black man, woman, or child nationwide is killed by law enforcement or by vigilantes in the guise of law enforcement. It's an epidemic, says Jabril Touré.
That's really what it is. If we had a situation where every 36 hours someone was being taken down by a public health situation, there would be a response. This is a problem which is happening nationwide. We all know locally the situations that have happened here. We've been out in Flatbush for the last 2 weeks trying to console the family of another victim of NYPD. And let's be very clear, he was a victim of NYPD. And so that's why we stand here today. That's why all these people, all these mothers are standing here, is because we don't want to see another person murdered because they flinched the wrong way or because they didn't understand that they had rights and they were being stopped.
Juanita Young, whose son was killed by NYPD in the year 2000, is spokesperson for Parents Against Police Brutality. She holds a pamphlet with photos of 228 young people killed by police since the 1999 death of 26-year-old Amadou Diallo.
It's a project that we do called Stolen Lives, where we document all police murder. And every time someone is murdered, we add them to the Stolen Life project, for which I'm getting ready to do a Stolen Life induction ceremony on May 18th at Riverside Church to induct the people from the past year up to now into the Stolen Life, because, you know, the police are quick to try to destroy the memory of the loved ones that they murder. So we let the family come in and talk about their loved one that they, you know, that had got murdered.
Aline Person lost her 19-year-old son.
He was shot by cops 5 times, once right there in the neck, right there. It was horrible. And then I met Juanita. I'm not a public person. I don't want to be out there. But then she taught me I can do it, but I can't do it all the time. Some days I can do it, and other days I can't.
Well, it's painful.
Yeah.
It's very painful. So how long ago was this?
To December 13, 2006. 3 days before his 20th birthday.
And what were the circumstances?
Him and some friends were standing in front of the building, similar to Kamari Gray. Some kids went right, some kids went left. He went in the building. When the cops rolled up, he went in the building. And they went in behind him and shot him 5 times. They claim he had a gun, but I don't know. I wasn't there. And nobody, his friend said he didn't have one. So.
And so have you gotten any justice for him?
I'm not going to get justice. They're not going to indict a cop. That will be my justice. They're not going to indict the cop. I know they're not. So there's no justice. Just have to put up with it. But eventually we'll find a way to stop it. Because it can't keep going on. You know?
Well, the trial inside is an attempt to stop it.
Yeah.
The stop and frisk trial continues in federal court with more testimony by NYPD. They continue to be questioned about the legality of stops and the pressure on officers to fill quotas. Linda Perry, WBAI News, New York.